The summer home buying season is straight ahead. Will sellers get a break on real estate commissions? Hi, I'm Rob West. The National Association of Realtors sent shockwaves through the industry recently with a decision to drop its standard 6% sales commission. What does that mean for home sellers this summer? Dale Vermillion fills us in today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a treat to have Dale Vermillion on the program. Dale's a good friend. He's the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. It's everything you need to know about securing a mortgage, all from a biblical perspective. Let me also say Dale will be here to answer your calls and questions during this portion of the broadcast, specifically on home buying and selling, securing a mortgage in light of these higher than typical interest rates, at least over the last 20 years or so, and anything related to that topic. Dale is here, and you can call right now. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Dale, great to have you with us, my friend. Dale, did we lose you there?
Oh, I got you now. How are you,
there Rob? You are. How are you, my friend?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you with us. Hey, Dale, before we get into the realtor settlement, the Fed obviously this week decided again not to lower interest rates. That wasn't too much of a shock given the latest inflation numbers. And this week, the average 30-year mortgage rate rose to 7.22%. That's the highest level in more than 5 months. So, Dale, what does all this mean for the summer buying and selling season?
Well, obviously it creates challenges for affordability. That's probably the biggest thing that we're seeing. But as I look at reports and surveys, what we see is customer sentiment is actually better than we would expect. I think people realize after 2 years of being on the sidelines that these are where the rates are going to be for a while. We don't expect to see rates to go down anytime soon, probably 2025, 2026 at this point. And look, it really comes down to understanding that even with the higher rates, if you're comparing homeownership to renting, in 95 to 99% of the cases, you're going to be better off with homeownership because of the tax benefits, the equity appreciation. So it's really just finding a place that you can afford to get into. You have to have a housing payment. It's better to have it in a mortgage and a home than it is to have it in a rental where the money's going nowhere.
Yeah. It's a great point, Dale. But let me ask you this. I mean, because affordability is challenging, just given these high interest rates, given how high the housing market is now with the average home north of $400,000, if someone is waiting to continue to build that down payment because they don't have quite enough to get in with 20% down, and they're saying, I'd like to try to wait out the opportunity to get a lower rate. I know you have no idea where this is going because the Fed doesn't know where it's going, but just based on what we know today, would you expect to see a five handle on mortgage rates at some point in 2025, or is it too hard to even say that?
It's really too hard to even say that. We expected rates to be down in the low sixes by this time this year going into 2024. Everything was heading in that direction. Inflation has not cooperated, and as a result, until it does, we don't know what's going to happen. Plus, we're in an election year. Yeah. And you never know what's going to happen in an election year. So all of these things being in the air, the one advantage of today's marketplace is there's a lot less buyers out there. There's that's creating more opportunities for inventory. And this is an opportunity to get a better chance to get into a contract, again, if you can afford and you have the right down payment and all those things. So that does become opportunistic. And then once rates go down, you refinance down that lower rate, and you only carry that rate for the shorter time, but you get into the home you want to be into.
Hmm. Dale, I had seen that inventories of new homes versus existing homes was actually more plentiful. There were more new homes in inventory, and you've got some of the developers offering incentives on those new homes that don't exist on the existing homes. Does that make the case that we should at least consider that option if we're out shopping for a home?
Absolutely. We saw a 30% increase in inventory in the month of April. It's up, and a lot of the sellers are giving, especially the builders, massive concessions that can be used towards reducing your interest rates. And that's a good reason to consider moving forward.
Yeah, excellent. Dale Vermillion with us today. When we come back, we'll talk about this recent decision, the settlement by the NAR, the National Association of Realtors. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Before Solomon, there had never actually been a temple in Jerusalem, a permanent place God's very presence would come and dwell. On the day the temple was dedicated, you can hear Solomon's amazement in his prayer. Will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. I wonder how much more amazed Solomon would have been if he knew one day God would take on human flesh. It's beyond our ability to fathom, but not only did he do that, he sacrificed that life to save those he loves, you and me. Have you spent time with your Savior today? Start receiving Anchor Devotional in print monthly at anchortoday.org.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
You should never really have to be tormented by the fear of death. There are only two ways you can ever face the future, no matter what it is. You can face the future by faith, or you can face the future in fear. And if you know the Word of God, you will not have to be afraid.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Great Disappearance, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, my friend Dale Vermillion. He's the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. It's everything you need to know about securing a mortgage from a biblical perspective. Today, we're talking about home buying and selling, what's happening in the real estate market, the mortgage market. As I mentioned before the break, Fed kept interest rates the same this week. We expected that. We're seeing the average 30-year mortgage rate now at 7.22%. That's the highest level in 5 months. But as Dale mentioned before the break, folks are kind of adjusting to this new normal, at least for now, and getting out and buying and selling homes. This is obviously a key time for that to happen as folks want to get into their next home before the next school year. And inventories are building. That's good news, because that's been what has been keeping these home prices so high. Dale, we're not seeing any kind of decline in housing prices. It's just the rate of increase is slowing. Is that right?
Well, we're starting to see a little bit of drop in listing prices. Property values have continued to increase, but the leading indicator for property values, as we well know, is listing prices. And as listing prices start to reduce a little bit with these rates going up, it will ultimately level off the increase in value. So we are starting to see in some markets, some regions around the country, where we're seeing a little better listing prices than we've seen in the last 6 months.
Interesting. All right. We're taking your calls and questions as well today in just a moment, 800-525-7000. At least for this portion of the broadcast, those calls will be on mortgage-related questions, buying and selling a home, just anything in the real estate category for Dale Vermillion today, 800-525-7000. We'll get to those calls here in just a moment. But first, Dale, let's turn our attention to the National Association of Realtors, a recent settlement where they agreed to drop their commitment to a 6% commission. Explain what happened.
Well, what happened was there was a class action lawsuit that came against them that challenged the fact that, first off, buyers were paying for the commission or the closing of the loan based on the sellers compensating the buyer's agent. And what the concern was that was controlling the funds that were happening. They've now challenged that where they've made the commissions on real estate transactions negotiable. Now, they've always actually been negotiable, to be honest with you, but there was kind of this 6% commission that was the known thing that basically everybody was getting on just about every transaction. And now there's more negotiating power for both buyers and sellers to talk with their agents about what they think is fair and reasonable. I think we're going to see the commission still be in the 4 to 6% predominantly on most purchases. But what it does do is it does make the realtors earn their keep, which I think is good. It's a free enterprise system that has been perfected in the process in doing that.
Yeah, really helpful, Dale. Now, did they actually set that commission? You said it was negotiable, so it was really a suggestion. Is that right?
It was a suggestion. Yeah, if you look at the average commission on real estate, it hasn't really been 6% nationally for a long time. But most transactions are actually 6%. As you got into higher transactions, you know, buyers would negotiate, sellers would negotiate, and get lower commissions with realtors. Because remember, if you're selling $1 million home versus a $200,000 home, that percentage is a big difference, and the work isn't that much different that's involved in it. So it's always been negotiable. I think a lot of consumers just thought it wasn't, so they didn't really argue it much and just went with the 6%. It's like anything else. If the realtors can get the 3% on each side, there's no reason for them to drop their commission with no reason.
Yeah. So let's talk about what this means for buyers, Dale. So I'm a buyer. Historically, I wouldn't have any conversation with my buyer's agent about commission because I would know that it would typically play out as it did with the customary fashion. And that is that that my realtor would be paid by the seller. With that not being the standard anymore, do I need to now be proactive in having that conversation before I start shopping for that home and looking for listings with my buyer's agent?
You do. If you want to be represented by a buyer's agent, you need to have the conversation before you start that shopping process as to what their commissions are, what services they're going to provide. I would recommend, just like you interview a mortgage loan officer, I would interview two or three real estate agents and see who you feel the best with. And then you're going to have to enter into an agreement with them and determine how that's going to be paid. Now, one of the things that just recently happened on April 26th was we now are moving towards a scenario where that can be paid out of seller concessions. And the government and Fannie Freddie have made some concessions on that so that can happen, and that'll be good. So it'll still ultimately be paid out of the transaction in many cases. We're still working some of those details out. It's not finalized yet, but that appears to be where it's heading.
So that was going to be my next question. So just clarify that, you know, historically that meant that as a buyer, I didn't need to come out of pocket because this was going to be paid out of the transaction. But if I'm now going to be paying that as the buyer, it could and would likely reduce what I have available for the down payment, right?
Yeah, and that's the concern, obviously, that everybody has because we already have affordability issues. Now, if we have to pay commissions on top of that, the concern is buyers won't enter the market. So that's why the realtors have been working and the NAR has been working to say, look, let's get this built so that we can build it into seller's concessions, but not reduce the concessions you can actually get because it's 2 to 9% of the purchase price is what they're based on. So they're protecting that so that it can happen through the transaction and it won't have a massive negative implication on the buyers.
Yeah, very good. Questions today for Dale Vermillion, 800-525-7000 to Mississippi. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Dale. So my question, my dad has a property in Miami that he was planning to give over to me. He called me the other day and told me that, I have two options. He can either send me half of the rent money, which he's getting paid $3,000 a month right now on it, or he can start paying my mortgage until he releases the house over to me. So my question was, would that affect my taxes if he was to pay my mortgage, or should I receive the cash every month, or how should I go about that?
Okay, yeah, so let's talk about this. So your dad owns the home. It's in his name alone. Is that correct?
Yes, right now.
Mm-hmm. And the plan is that he's going to gift it to you, or you're going to inherit it at his death. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so he's talking about perhaps sending you half of the rent payment that he's going to receive. Now, that would be a gift to you. You always want to check with your CPA just to go over the details, because we just don't have enough time here to get into the nuts and bolts. But generally speaking, that would all be income to him. It's his property. He's renting it out. He's receiving rent. After expenses, he's going to pay, after the deductions, he's going to have to pay tax on the full rent he's receiving. Now, there's plenty of expenses he can deduct, the mortgage interest and maintenance and advertising and all that kind of stuff, insurance premiums. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a portion that's taxable. He'll have the sole responsibility of the tax on that. And then he would turn around and gift you half of what's left. As long as it's below $18,000, he doesn't have to tell the IRS about it. It's not taxable. If he goes beyond $18,000, he'd have to fill out a gift tax form, but that would just chip away at your lifetime or his lifetime gift exemption of $13 million. So still not taxable to him or you. He's just essentially making you a gift after all the tax is paid. And he's tying it to the rent because he's the owner. You're not. Let's do this. I want to give you a chance to ask any follow-up questions, and I've got to take a break. So stay right there. Questions for Dale Vermillion, though, today. We're taking those at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
We all fail, and sometimes we fail miserably. But must our failures characterize the rest of our lives? Certainly not. So says American Family Association's Matthew White in his blog, Productive Service After Horrible Failures. Be encouraged as Matthew teaches about a man who failed, yet by God's grace, he went on to enjoy many years of productive service in the kingdom. Read it today at afa.net/thestand.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me for this portion of the broadcast, our good friend Dale Vermillion. Dale is our resident mortgage expert. He's also the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze. Before the break, we were talking to Joseph in Mississippi. Joseph's father has some real estate in Miami. He owns the property. Joseph's dad does outright. He's planning to leave the property to Joseph at his death. In the meantime, his dad is either wanting to take half the rent that he's receiving from his tenant and send it to Joseph or pay Joseph's mortgage. And Joseph, what I was sharing before the break is because your dad's the sole owner of the property, all tax burden related to that income would be his. If he then wants to turn around and either connected to half of the rent or not, give you a gift on a regular basis, he can do that. That's not taxable up to $18,000. He wouldn't even have to tell the IRS. Beyond that, it would start to eat away at the lifetime exclusion of $13 million, though still not taxable. The same would apply to that second option. If he were to start paying your mortgage, that would be considered by the IRS as a gift, and the same rules would apply. But do you have any questions on that?
Right. No, I completely understand that. So now the only thing was, so if he was to pay my mortgage, is it me and my wife, we own a house over here in Mississippi. So would that affect our taxes if you was to pay that off, like, directly every month?
No.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, it's all. So also the next question is, so his plan is if he doesn't pass away anytime soon, was to once the people that are renting the property right now, once they move out, he's planning to hand over the property to me, be in charge of it, and then put it under my name.
Well, yeah, so two things on that. If he decides to start sending you a monthly check, whether that's the same amount as your mortgage or not, it's a gift as far as the IRS is concerned, and he can make a gift to you tax-free. The only difference is, again, if it's below $18,000, he doesn't even have to tell the IRS. If it goes above that, at least in the year 2024, because that's the threshold, then he fills out IRS gift form 709 with his tax return. Still no taxes. It just starts to chip away at his lifetime exclusion of $13 million. So that would also apply to him giving you a gift every month that happens to be equal to your mortgage payment. With regard to you inheriting the asset, that's the key. You want to inherit it not by him giving it to you through a quitclaim deed, but you want to get it at his death either through a will or a trust, because that's going to involve a step up in cost basis, where the new cost basis for that property is not what he paid for it originally, but it jumps up to the market value as of the date of death. And then if you decide to keep it, well, that's your new cost basis, and your capital gains would be based on that, any growth or appreciation in the property value from that market value as of the date of death forward, which is a big deal. So that just means, again, you don't want him to, you know, sign it over to you, quote unquote. You want to inherit it through a will or a trust at his death.
Okay, so if he does end up signing it over to me, what would happen there, though? What would be the case for that?
That would be a gift, and so he would have to fill out IRS Form 709. That would chip away at his $13 million lifetime exclusion. That's probably not a big deal unless he has a massive estate. But the bigger implication is for you, again, that would be not advantageous from a tax standpoint, because if he gives it to you while he's living, then you keep his original cost basis. The cost basis is what determines whether there's capital gains upon the sale. And if you keep his cost basis, you're going to have to use his original purchase price to determine the gain. If you inherit it at his death, you get the step up in basis to the market value as of the date of death.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you so much for your help. That helped me out a lot.
I'm happy to do it. God bless you, Joseph. Let's go to West Virginia. Linda, what is your question for Dale Vermillion? Hi, Linda. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, I have a real estate question. Let's just say you listed a home for $200,000. And so it's listed. And in conversation, you say to your realtor, you would come down to $150,000 if you had to, but that's your plan. Now, your listing agent gets a contract on the house, but she also has a paper for you to sign that says she's also a buyer's agent. Okay, my question is, where does the loyalty lie from the listing agent that you hired and you're paying her commission?
Yeah. Dale, thoughts on that?
Well, a dual agency, which is what that's called, I believe is not advantageous to a consumer because you've got both, you've got the agent covering both sides of the transaction. It makes it hard to be neutral in your negotiations. So my recommendation is when you interview a realtor today, ask them the question, are you only representing me or are you planning to represent in a dual agency agreement? And if they say, no, I want to represent both sides, then you don't have to agree to that. You want to have a representative who is representing you and you're representing you alone, that would be my recommendation.
Thoughts on that, Linda?
Yeah, well, I agree. That did happen to me about a year ago. Of course, that's history to me now. But whenever that did happen, I thought to myself, you know, that doesn't make sense because I'm paying this company a nice commission. And so they get an offer and also have that paper. And I thought, you know what, this just really isn't right.
Yeah.
But it all went through and everything. But I just thought, you know, I'd ask this question to help someone else in the future.
Yeah. Dale, any other thoughts?
No, just if you find you are in that scenario, then the key is don't give your bottom line out to that realtor. Be the negotiator on your own behalf. If the realtor doesn't know what the bottom line is in that scenario, then they can't really cross that line. I mean, you know, common sense on any kind of a decision in a large transaction like this is going to be that if somebody's going to be willing to take less, they're probably going to end up there in most cases. So you want to avoid those situations. I think this is great advice that she's giving to the rest of the listeners.
Yeah, very good. I mean, obviously you could agree in advance to be sure that, you know, they're only going to represent one side of this. For this exact reason, to be able to keep material facts and information private. Thanks for your call, Linda. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me during this segment of the broadcast, Dale Vermillion. We're talking about the housing market. We're also talking about the recent settlement of the National Association of Realtors. Your questions in this segment today for Dale Vermillion, 800-525-7000, buying or selling a home, securing a mortgage in this environment, when you should think about refinancing, all of those questions for Dale Vermillion today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now with lines open. Dale, going back to this NAR settlement, so help the person who's going out home shopping right now. They're about to engage a realtor, and we're very clear on this program that the assistance of a professional real estate professional, you know, to make this buy or sell decision and help you shepherd through the process is absolutely, I think, vital. This is the largest transaction most of us will ever have. So having somebody to walk alongside you is important. So, and we want to honor those folks well. We realize they're going to work hard. They're, you know, they're entitled to be paid well. I think the question is kind of given this is so new, you know, where we've never had these conversations before as a buyer, help the buyer today have that conversation. I mean, what do you think is normal and customary now? You know, should they be negotiating? Should they offer a certain amount or just take whatever their realtor tells them? How do you think they should go about it?
Well, first off, I couldn't agree more with your comments that I think it's very important that you have a real estate agent representing you. I think they bring a ton of value to the transaction. But like any profession, just like mortgage professionals, everybody has different experience, different services they're going to provide. What you really want to do is interview them like you would a loan officer, in that before you determine who you're going to choose, sit down with two or three of them, ask the questions. Tell me exactly what services you're going to provide for me. What can I expect out of this transaction? Walk me through your network. How big of a network do you have? What kind of inventory are you working with right now? Remember, there are two kinds of sales.
A second there, Dale. Hopefully we'll get you back. Yep.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
We got you back. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
You got to remember there's two kinds of transactions that happen. There's front sheet, what we call front sheet, and back sheet. Front sheet is the MLS listings, but a lot of realtors today, they'll know of properties coming up on the market that won't hit that can help you to expand your inventory opportunity. So it's really just a matter of interviewing them to understand their business philosophy, their services, their approach. And if you feel good about them, then it's staying within that 3%. Maybe it's 2, maybe it's 2.5. Part of it depends on how much the property is you're looking to buy as to what you're going to be willing to do. And also work out on the front end, how is that going to be paid for? Are we going to be able to use concessions? What's that going to look like? Have that all arranged before you sign the agreement, and you'll be in great shape.
Dale, is 2 the new 3, or is it not that simple?
I don't think it's that simple, but I think it could become that way pretty quickly, to be very honest with you. I think that consumers are going to push that, particularly in this marketplace, because the rates are so high, the affordability is such a challenge, and the cost of properties are just so much more than they've ever been. So I do believe we will see the old three will become the new two, and it might even be 1.5 or 1 at some point in time. I wouldn't be surprised at that.
All right. Dale, we're going to let you go. I think we're having some trouble with the line, and perhaps there's a bigger delay that's been created here. But so thankful for you, my friend. We always love your time with us. By the way, folks, you can pick up a copy of Dale's book wherever you buy books. It's called Navigating the Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. And Dale, we'll look forward to having you back again in the future. Dale, thanks for being with us. Let's head back to the phones. By the way, folks, we'll begin to take your questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. So whatever financial question you have today, let's pivot and kind of broaden our scope here today beyond mortgages and housing questions to really anything financial. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Joy. Go ahead.
Rob, thank you so much.
Hi, Joy. Are you with us?
Listener. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Great.
Hello. Can you hear me? Alexa, volume up.
All right. We got you now, Joy. Go ahead.
Alexa, volume 1. I'm sorry. Wanted to turn down my... anyway, I'm an avid listener, and my mother has a home that she has already deeded, put me on the deed with her. And from what I'm understanding, or I think I'm understanding from your show, is that that is not as advantageous coming from a tax perspective as versus inheriting the home at death. And if that is correct, is there anything you can do to undo that once it's been done?
Yeah. So there actually is. I mean, so for instance, let's say person one owns the property, and then it's called a quitclaim deed. They quitclaim deed, meaning transferring the property, deeding it over to another person. That's a gift that would then, you know, chip away at their lifetime gift exclusion. Person B could, in a sense, gift it back to the original owner. You'd want to, of course, talk to your tax professional about all of this and make sure that it's done properly and reported properly. But in a sense, it could be deeded back to the person A, the original owner. Remember, in both of those, one way, you know, going from person A to person B, you retain the cost basis. The same would be true going back from person B back to person A. And then it could be put in the will that the property is to be then left as an inheritance to person B at death. And then when it ultimately, you know, is transferred to person B at the, you know, at the death of person A, then, you know, you would get that stepped up cost basis. Does that make sense, Joy?
It does. And is that something you think's worth pursuing since it's already in place the other way?
I do.
Okay. Okay.
I do, yeah.
So,
just well, and a lot of that's going to come down to kind of how different was the cost basis from the original, you know, step up in basis. So here's the thing. Let's say that property has not been owned very long, and therefore, you know, the original cost basis is not a whole lot different than the market value today. Well, there's probably not going to be, you know, a big, you know, implication to that. But if this is a property that's been owned for a long time, let's say it was bought, you know, 3 decades ago, and so it's got a very low cost basis, and you would benefit dramatically by that, you know, step up in basis to the current market value because, you know, it's, you know, doubled or tripled in value since it was purchased. Well, then, yeah, I mean, that's serious money there that would all be taxable as a capital gain. And, you know, we need to probably think about, you know, getting that back to the original owner and then having it transferred at death. So I think the next step here is for you to talk to your CPA, your tax professional, and, you know, walk through what's going on and make sure you understand kind of the benefits of doing this, how it would be done? And then if so, I would involve a real estate attorney to actually draw up that quit claim deed, and you deal with both the legal side and the quit claim deed and the tax side with your tax professional. This is not something you want to go alone. You want to make sure you're in good, constant communication with your professionals as you're putting this together.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The Friends of Israel Today keeps a finger on the pulse of what's happening in Israel.
Yesterday, there were 66 new wounded soldiers, which in Israel numbers, it's a lot of wounded soldiers.
Yes.
Relatively to the United States, it's like you had in one day 500 soldiers would have gotten wounded.
Yes.
Or 1,000, okay? The hospitals in Israel are full with the wounded soldiers. They get the rehabilitation and start now.
Hear the Friends of Israel Today every Saturday afternoon at 2 Central on AFR.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We are so thrilled that you're along with us today. We've had just a few challenges technically. We're working through it, but appreciate your patience there. We've got a slight delay going on. Unfortunately, we will not be able to take any more questions as relates to that, but we will look forward to having you back with us on Monday. And so if you're holding on the line, would you call us back on Monday? And we'll be sure to get you on the program and take those questions. Coming up in just a moment, we'll have our good friend Jerry Boyer, and Jerry will be weighing in on the markets and the economy. Really interesting what's happening in the markets. I mean, remember a couple of weeks ago, we got this GDP number showing that the market was certainly not growing as quickly as expected. We were expecting 2% growth. It came in around 1.6, the U.S. gross domestic product. We also saw that inflation was up. It's proving to be stickier than expected. This week, we got what was expected in that the Fed kept rates the same. We also got, though, a week jobs report today, and the market's liking the news, probably because that's going to signal. Remember, Jerry talks a lot about this upside down world we live in. That's likely signaling that the Fed may be more likely to make a cut here sooner rather than later. Jerry is with us now, and Jerry, as you know, we've got a little bit of technical issue, so we're just going to give you a moment just to kind of give your update, and then we will move on. But here's what I'd like to know is, obviously, we're seeing the effects of this upside-down world we live in. Bad job numbers today, green across the board. We didn't have you with us last week, so just kind of summarize the last couple of weeks and what we're seeing with U.S. GDP, inflation, the Fed's action and comments this week, and then today's jobs reports, and help us interpret it all.
Yeah, well, U.S. GDP is lower than they were expecting and lower than trend, which is not surprising to anyone who's been listening to our conversations or to the webinars that you do for advisors. The markets have been signaling a slowing economy, not a recession, but a slowing economy. But, I mean, you said it very well, you know, while you were bringing me on the air here. I was thinking, hey, just run the Jerry bot. I mean, he's got it. You know, just Rob can do this without me. You know, that we have this upside-down world. So today we had bad jobs numbers. You know, the unemployment rose and job creation was lower than expected. It's another sign of a slowing economy. Again, they don't look like recessionary numbers. But, you know, people worry, is there going to be a recession or not? You know, years of grinding underperformance are worse than a short, sharp recession. You know, if you have a recession, it's bad for, you know, half a year. You come back out of it, you go back to normal. But sort of like stagflation, persistent loss of value in the dollar over a long period of time, persistently slow-growing economy, you're not getting raises, or you're getting raises, they're not keeping up with inflation, you're not getting the promotions, goods and services aren't growing, that kind of slow, kind of European-style or Japanese-style thing, it really, that's worse. I'd rather have the recession and get in and out. But what we had today is just such a perfect illustration of how this works, because our Fed thinks in a perverse way, because the Fed thinks that job growth creates inflation. And so we don't have much job growth. Oh, so we won't have an inflation problem, which means the Fed can keep the party going with easy money, which means that markets go up on bad news. And one of the things you want to look for is if the stock market goes up and gold prices also go up and the dollar goes down, that's an indication that this is an easy money thing. In a healthy economy, the stock market will go faster than the bond market and the gold price will remain stable, which means that your stock market performance isn't driven by easy money or inflation. It's driven by actual growth. But that's not what we have right now. And that's why we're seeing, I'm just looking at the, you know, at that spike, the job market came out, bad news for employees, good news for the markets. And that really shows how messed up our system of thinking is, how far away we've gotten from biblical economics. In biblical economics, people working is a good thing. We were created, as I'm reading the book of Genesis, we are pretty much created for three things: to worship God, to love husbands and wives and bring children into the world, and to work. There, I mean, yes, and the seventh day you rest, but the seventh day is worship. So the what is human nature? Worship, family, work. And Keynesian economics throws all of those out, right? No worship because there is no God, according to Keynes. Remember, they voted God out of the Cambridge Apostles. They pretended that God applied to their little fraternity, and they had a debate, and they didn't admit him. Man and woman, sorry, not with the Cambridge Apostles. That was not the kind of fraternity they were. And they had a very negative view of economic productivity. So we are living in the world of the intellectuals who basically captured the American prestige universities and thereby captured the Fed and the planning apparatus. So that's why we're getting the strange market reactions that we do now.
Well, Jerry, we're going to let you go because unfortunately you and I can't have a back and forth here today just because of some technical issues. But I really appreciate, as always, Jerry, your insights. And thank you for kind of recentering us, if you will, on that biblical perspective. I love the simplicity that you extracted from Genesis around worship, family, and work. I mean, if we just continued to embed that here in you know, the American DNA, if you will, which is what we were founded upon, well, that then results in a biblical view of economics and wealth creation that basically gets you the American experience and experiment, if you will, and the incredible growth we've had, far surpassing other nations that didn't apply that biblical model. And it stands to wonder why we can't see that moving away from that is going to be problematic. But Jerry, always look forward to our time with you, my friend, and we'll have you back again next week. You know, let's continue what Jerry was talking about in the sense that what Jerry just laid out was a biblical view of God's design for economics and really the, you know, creation to be a worker, to be worshiping the Lord, to be being fruitful and multiplying, and family as kind of the foundation of that unit under God. When we continue to build that out to then how we should handle God's money, looking at a biblical biblical worldview, where do we go there? Well, we recognize then, building on what Jerry said, that God owns it all, so it all belongs to him. And then underneath that, we recognize that we're then money managers or stewards of God's resources. Money is, of course, one of God's good creations to provide and, yes, to enjoy and also to give generously according to what God has entrusted to us. That's proportionate giving as an act of worship, which goes back to what Jerry said, that part of our what we were created for is worship unto the Lord. And so when we apply that model, then we see God as our ultimate treasure and money as a tool to accomplish his purposes. But we're left with the decisions that we have to make every day in terms of handling that money. And you're having decisions coming at you all the time. Well, I need transportation. And what do I do for housing? And wait a minute, it's more expensive than ever. And I'm showing up at the grocery store. And over the last 3.5 years, that same basket of groceries you bought 3.5 years ago is now 21% higher today. And how do you manage all of these decisions and live as a faithful steward? Because faithfulness is our objective once we've given our lives to Christ. We're stewards of everything God has entrusted to us. It all comes from him, including our talents and our abilities and even the ability to create wealth. It all comes from the Lord. And that's where we go back to Scripture and we say, okay, what are those basic principles we can pull out and then apply in our financial lives? And well, one of them, beyond God owns it all and that we're stewards, is that we have to spend less than we earn. We have to live within God's provision. And that's where we exercise this idea that Paul talks about called contentment. You remember he said in Philippians 4, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. Now, reducing our living expenses is often the quickest way to increase cash flow. It's harder now than ever, and yet your ability to live within your means is really critical, because that's what's going to produce margin or surplus, and that's the only way you're going to fund your goals. We see in God's word we're to train our children. That would be another big idea. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children learn from one of three ways, either example, example, or example, right? More is caught than taught. And so we need to model financial decision-making under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and as a steward, living within our means, operating on a budget, not using debt. I mean, all of the things we see in Scripture. What's next? Well, we see that debt is not a sin, but it's definitely something that God wants us to be careful about. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. So borrowing always presumes upon the future. We've got to be really careful when we take it out, and we absolutely need to have spousal unity before we do it. I think we also need to just understand this idea that we are to give generously. You see, giving calibrates our hearts to the Father's, and it allows us to participate in God's activity. So we need to have a plan for our giving. Yes, we should start with a systematic gift, I think, to the local church. But beyond that, we should be giving as the Lord leads, and even building it into our plan. And I like the idea of a progressive giving plan where we're bumping that up every year. Maybe we're giving out of our cash flow. Maybe we're going from 10 to 11% this year. But we're also looking at the balance sheet and looking to give even sacrificially. What an opportunity to worship the Lord and participate in his activity. Well, folks, our goal on this program each day is to encourage you, to uplift you, but also to take you back to a biblical worldview of money and financial decisions. I hope we've been able to do that today. Hey, a big thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry. We're so thankful that you were with us today. If you'd like to support our work, we'd love for you to head to faithfi.com and click give, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.